Today's Shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Ayin. We begin on the very top line. We continue to learn for a complete Refuah Shleima for all those Nebuch that have been hurt with the terrorist atrocities in Eretz Yisrael. We learn for continued safety of the forces of Tzahal, that they should be Be'ezus Hashem successful without any injuries, without any difficulties. And we learn for the safe return of all the Shvuyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Yerachem on call all of Klal Yisrael. So we pick up on the very top line of Kedushin Ayin Omer Aleph, with the words Giri v'Charuri. We're continuing from the famous mission of Asara Yosin, telling us how do we know that the people that were converted and people that were freed slaves also came from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. Asara Yosin, Olumi Babel, how do we know that these groups were included? So we mean Olin, the Gemara asks, where do we know that from? So Amar Rechisa tells us, the Amar Kwa, because the Pasuk from Ezra tells us, it says, V'chol ha'nivdol mitumas goye ha'oretz aleihem. And it says, Lidrosh, we don't have that in the Gemara, Lidrosh Lashem Elokei Yisrael. That's the end of the Pasuk. So it teaches us that all of those people that separated themselves from the Tumah of being a guy, from being not part of the Am HaNivchar, and chose to become part of the Am HaNivchar, so they separated themselves to seek out Lidrosh LaHashem, so therefore these people were included in coming down from Babel, because V'chol HaNivdol Mitumas Goy Aretz Aleihem, they were included in those children that came from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, next in the Mishnah, it said Mamzeri. How do we know that Mamzeri, Minolan, how do we know that there were Mamzeri that also were brought down by Ezra to Eretz Yisrael from Babel? They'll say it, because the Pasuk tells us, and this is a Pasuk that we have in Nehemiah, where it tells us, Vayishma Sanvelat HaChoroni, he was from Choron, V'tuvia HaEved HaAmoni, and Tuvia, who was an Eved, it states Beferish in the Pasuk, he was an Eved from Amon. It tells us, the rest of the Pasuk tells us additional people as well, but we're not interested in them, we're interested in Tovia, who it says Beferish, he was an Eved. Now, Uksiv, it says, in a later pasuk in Nehemiah, where it tells us ki rabim biYehuda, so it shows that they were in Eretz Yisrael in Yehuda, bali shvulo, many people in Yehuda, many of the Jews had sworn allegiance to this person Tovia ha'eved, ki chosenhu, and he in fact was the son-in-law of Lishchanya ben Arach, who was a Jewish person. And likewise, this Tuvia had a son, Viona's son, Beno, he had a son, also, Lokach ez bas Mishulam ben Berechia. So both this son of Tuvia, Yehona's son, and Tovia himself, both were Avodim, and yet they had taken upon themselves Jewish wives. And therefore, the Tana of our Mishnah holds, Kisavar and Ovid Kochav the Eved, Abba Bas Yisrael, if a guy or an Eved has relations with a Jewish girl, Havlad Mamzer, that child is a Mamzer. So you see here that they came to Eretz Yisrael, seemingly that they came from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, and they were brought by Ezra as that group called Mamzeri that came. So here we see evidence of that from the Pasuk. More questions, it says that's not really a valid source, because number one, that only works out according to the Man D'Yomar, Hanichla Man D'Yomar, D'Yomar, Havlad Mamzer, that only works according to the Man D'Yomar. It says that an Eved or an Ovi Kochavim that has relations with the Bas Yisrael, the child that comes out of that relationship is a Mamzer. Oh, according to that Man D'Yomar, it works out very well. Hanichla Man D'Yomar, Havlad Mamzer. But according to the other opinion, Le Man D'Yomar, Havlad Kosher, that no, that child is, unfortunately, he doesn't have much yichas. He's a pogom, as we said previously. So he, in fact, is not a mamzer, albeit not in high yichas. But according to that opinion, he's not a mamzer. So therefore, my yichal meimer, what are you going to say according to that opinion? Furthermore, even if you want to accept the coin to the Man D'Yomar, it says that the Vlad is a mamzer, v'su, who says, mimai da'avi le b'nei, who says that even though it says that he was the son-in-law of a Jewish person, and his son also was the son-in-law of a Jewish person, Mimai the Havalei B'nei, who says that they had children, that they came down from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. Dumalo Havalei B'nei, maybe they didn't have children. So therefore, we don't know that they brought down any mamzerim with them. It's only if they have children that the children are mamzer. Furthermore, even if they did have children, Mesu, Mimai the Hocha Havalu, who said that they had children in Babel? And then Usliku, and then they went to Eretz Yisrael. Maybe Dilmo Hasam Havu, maybe they only got married in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, that's where they had any children, if they did have children. Who says that, Asara Yosin, Alumi Bavel, who says that that actually was true? So therefore, this source that we tried to bring down can't really prove to us that Mamzerim came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Elumi Hocha. So therefore, the Gemara says, this is the real source. And this is from Nehemiah also. And it tells us, the Eileha Olim Mitel Melach, these are the people that came up from Tel Melach. Now, Tel Aviv is the name of a place, a mound, called Melach, a place called Melach, or Tel Harsha, a place called Tel Harsha. And the people that came up from these areas went to cities known as Kruv, Adon, and the Emer. These are the names of cities. We're going to darsh in these words, other than the fact that there were these cities, we'll darsh them momentarily. Now it says about all these people, v'lo yachlu, the people that lived in these places, v'lo yachlu lahagid beis avosam v'zaram. They were unable to say over who their beis avosam was. Rashi tells us that the beis avosam is their paternal lineage, and v'zaram is their maternal lineage. In other words, they didn't necessarily know who their mothers were, they didn't necessarily know who their fathers were. Im Yisrael mehem, if they were Jewish or not. Now, we darsh in these words. It tells us Tel Melach. Why is it called Tel Melach? Because Elu Bnei Adam Shedomim Maaseim L'Maasei Sodom. That the people who lived here, their actions were similar to the actions of the people in Sodom. What were the actions of the people in Sodom? So the people in Sodom, unfortunately, were Anoshim Ro'im V'chatoim Ma'od. As we're going to learn in Parshas Lech Lecha in a few weeks. So it tells us there, they were Megali Arayis. The people that lived in Sodom, Anoshim Ro'im V'chatoim Ma'od. Now, what does that mean? Ro'im begufam, v'chatu'im b'mamonim, that they were horrible with their bodies in terms of committing sexual immoralities, adultery, etc., and they were horrible with people, with their money. And it tells us in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in Perek Chelek, it says there, d'machei la'aisesa d'chabre, if somebody hit a pregnant woman, umapila, and caused it a miscarry, so their form of justice, so to say, was amalei. They would say, tehevei gabach, you have to keep her with you. The person who made her miscarry had to go and impregnate her, adima avra. And therefore, this way, there would be mamzerim, hari mamzerim legabi Yisrael. So therefore, that's what these people did, these horrible actions, these sexual immoralities, causing mamzerim to occur. And why is it specifically referred to as Sodom? Tel Melach, Shenevcha l'Tel Melach, that Sodom was turned into a mountain of salt. And therefore, just like we know that Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt, so too the city was destroyed and turned into a mound of salt. So that's why it refers to it as Tel Melach. Tel Harsha, why was the other place called Tel Harsha? Zeshekore Abba, this is a person that calls out, hey, are you my father? And Harsha means to silence him, v'imo mishatz koso. And the mother silences him and says, no, that's not. And this is the classical example of a shtuki. And furthermore, v'lo yochlu lahagid beis avosam v'zaram, we pointed out previously, Rashi said, the beis avosam means their father, v'zaram means their mother. They don't know. They're asufis. Im Yisrael hein, if they were from Jewish lineage or not. And zehu asufi, this is a reference to the asufi, shenei asav min hashuk. This is the foundling that is gathered in from the streets. He's left in front of the hospital, left in front of the orphanage. So this is clearly where we get the idea that mamzerim came down with Ezra from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now, we darsh in those cities, Kiruv, Adon, the Emer. Rashi says, we cut the psukim up and we darsh them in a certain way. So, Misaris Hamikra, Vidorish, and we darsh in it as follows. Omar Rabbi Avo, Omar Adon, instead of the word Adon, the Emer, we separate it, so to say, do it, cut it apart, and say, Omar Adon, the Adon being HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Rashi tells us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani Amarti Yisrael Lefanai Chashuvim Kichruv. I said the Jewish people should be important to me like the Kruvim, like the holy Kruvim that are in the Beis HaMikdash. But instead, Nebuch, you acted in an inappropriate fashion, in an immoral fashion. Beim Samu Atzvam Kinomer. Rashi explains that an omer is a type of an animal, kechayezu, she'eno makpedes bezug chaverta. An omer is literally a leopard. In modern Hebrew, it's also known as a tiger. So this omer mates with other tigers indiscriminately. It doesn't have a set male-female pair. It just will mate with any female that's around. So Klai Yisrael, instead of acting morally, so he acted immorally like this omer. Alternatively, could the Amr Rabbi Yavar darshan in the following way. Amr Adon, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he darshan those words the same, but the opposite way for Kruv. Even though you acted in an immoral fashion, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. You're still to me like the Kruvim. Okay, that's this drasha. Amr Rabbi Baruch Hanna. Rabbi Baruch Hanan Darshan this follows. Kol anose isha she'eino hugenislo. If a person marries a woman that's inappropriate for him, she's not a proper spouse for this person. Rashi explains over here that this means that he took somebody that was technically the marriage could be chal, but it was inappropriate for him. In other words, while it was a marriage, the Kiddushin was chal, but it was inappropriate for him to marry that woman for various reasons, one of which the Gemara will tell us, Ma'al al-Kasav, the Torah says about him, Kilu charosho l'chol olam kula, as if he plowed the entire world. Here, the tail charosh means that he plowed the whole world, Uzro melech, and then he planted it, so to say, with salt, which will ruin the ground. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Eile ha'olim, the people that came up, married inappropriately, and that's why it's called Mitel Melach and Tel Charsha. This is a reference to the idea that they're destroying the world. Amar Rabba by Rav Ado Amar Rav, Rav Ado by Rabba, Rav Ado says the name of Rav, Kolonosa Isha Lishum Mamon. If a man marries a woman for the purposes of her money. Now, Rashi explains that this is also talking about where the woman was not appropriate for him. So, it is not inappropriate to marry a woman if she happens to have money. That doesn't necessarily signify a bad thing. However, if he's marrying her when it was an inappropriate marriage, the lichus wasn't there, but he married her because of her money, so he will have children. He will end up having children that aren't appropriate, just like he acted in an inappropriate fashion. So his children will be inappropriate. They won't be proper. Shenemar. Pasuk says, "Bashem bogdu," since they rebelled against Hakadosh Baruch Hu by doing this, "Kibanim zarim yoladu." So they will have children that will be zarim, that will be strangers. In other words, Rashi says, "Meisha psulalo." This was a woman that was inappropriate for him. There was some blemish, some pagam there that he shouldn't have married her, and he only married her l'shem mamo nosva. So therefore, kidim asayim kra. The end of the pasuk says, "Ato yochlem chodesh eschal keim," which was darshan in the moment of the Gemara, but that's the end of the pasuk. Rashi says that's what will happen. Let's keep on directioning. So you're telling me over here that you'll have bad children, but okay, you say v'shem atomar mamun pala, but you'll say at least you'll have money, right? Sometimes people are willing to do the strangest of things for money. So Tam Alom, the pasuk says no. The end of the pasuk says atiyochlem chodesh eschokem, which we now direction as follows: that it means that you won't have any money even for a month. It will go away after a month. Now, how do we know that? B'shem HaTomar Chalko V'lo Chalko. So first of all, maybe it's only Chalko, which means Rashi explains that this is the Nichsei Tzom Barzo that she brings in as dowry, so that is his. He's responsible for that. So maybe only that will go away. V'lo Chalko, not her Nichsei Maluk that she brings in, which he has the rights of usufruction, that he has the right to go and use them, but they belong to her. So maybe only the stuff that belongs to him, the Nichsei Tzom Barzo, but not the Nichsei Maluk. Maybe only those will be destroyed, the Nichsei Tzom Barzel, but not the Nichsei Maluk, Tam Lomar, Chal Kehem, both of them. So both the Nichsei Tzom Barzel and the Nichsei Maluk will be destroyed. Are you going to tell me, V'shem HaTomar Luzman Meruba, they'll take a long time for it to be destroyed? No, that's why it says Chodesh, Tam Lomar, Chodesh, it will be destroyed in a very short period of time. How do we know this? My mashma. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Chodesh Nichnas, V'chodesh Yotza. So we have the month comes, the month goes, U'mamonim Avad, and it means the money will be lost during that short period of time. Furthermore, Yomar Rabba by Ravada, he says, furthermore, others say it was Va'amri Law, Amrav Sala, Amrav Amnuna, it was Rav Sala's head name, Rav Amnuna. Similar idea. Kolonosa Isha Shein Hogenislo, if somebody marries a woman that is not appropriate for him, so then Elio Kovso, Vakodish Baruch Hu Rotso. Elio, so to say, ties him up, just like you give lashes to a person, you have to bind his hands in front of him so he doesn't move. So Elio will tie you up, so to say, Vakodish Baruch Hu Rotso. Vakodish Baruch Hu will give this person lashes for marrying an inappropriate woman. Now, Vitano, we learn furthermore in the Braisa, Akulam Elio Kosev, on all of these people, Elio writes down, and Rashi says, on which people are we talking about? The Akulam means Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim, that married inappropriately. Vakodesh Baruch Hu Kosev, so Vakodesh Baruch Hu signs, so to say, to seal this, that yes, it was an inappropriate marriage. And Oilo Laposel Ezaro, and woe is to the person that in this fashion goes and has lineage that's not appropriate, is Posel, he's posel his zaro. Ulapogim es mishpachto, and it ruins his family name as well. Vilanosa isha she'en hogenislo, for somebody who marries a woman that's not appropriate for him. So in this situation as well, Elio Kovso, so Elio, now seemingly this is Elio Novi, albeit there is a Rashi that some disagree with, some mohek this, and others say no, it's real, that says that this is Elio, is lav Elio Hanovi, but this is some sort of a king whose name was Elio. In any event, whoever this Elio was, he will bind you, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be the one that will give this person lashes. And then we add the very important idea of a whole aposel, posel. If somebody goes and posels other people and say, hey, you're not a yichastika person, so posel, it means he himself is not a yichastika person. And this is true if he does this all the time. And he doesn't go and ever speak nicely about other people. Such a person is, in fact, going to be a person who probably has a psul himself. As Rashi says, call a posel, migadev tomid es hamishpachos. If somebody constantly is belittling other people's yichus, so who atzmo posel? It must be a sign. We have the famous rule, call a pogame, the mumo pogame. If you always talk about somebody else's blemishes, Mustama, you know those blemishes. You have those blemishes. And we'll see that, Shmuel will say that in a second. Beinu medab bishvach liolim, Rashi means, ein darko shel posel ledab bishvach habrios liolim. A person who's a negative person, he's always putting down other people, so he doesn't talk nicely about other people ever. And this is talking here about a person who does this regularly, not talking about a person who does this on a one-time thing. He lost control for a moment. So a person who does this regularly, speaks ill about other people regularly, and he speaks never nicely about other people. And about such a person, Rav Shmuel, b'muma posel. Call a posel, b'muma posel. This is the famous statement that we have throughout Shas, that Shmuel teaches us that when a person is knocking somebody else, mistama, he sees that blemish in himself very, very well. And that's why he, quote, calls it on other people. Now we have a very, very, very fascinating story. It's a long story. It goes to almost the middle of the Omid Beis. A fascinating story. How Gavra the Minardoi. There once was a person, he's not a good person, as we'll see, who came from the city of Nardoi, where Rav Nachman was the Gaon, the Gadol, the Dayan in that city. And the all lebei mit bechaya bepumpeditza. And this bad person traveled from Nardoi, where Rav Nachman was the Rosh Hashiva, was the Gadol in that area. And he travels to Pumpeditza, where Rav Yehuda, the famous Rav Yehuda, the Talmud of Rav and Shmuel, was the Rosh Hashiva in Pumpeditza. He was the Gadol in that area. So this bad person went from Nardoi, from the area of Rav Nachman, to the area of Rav Yehuda in Pumpeditza. And Amalahu, so he went into a butcher store, and he went into this Mitbechai in Pumpeditza, and he told the people there, Havali Bisro, give me meat, I want to have some meat. And Amalahu, they said, wait your turn. Nitar, wait, Adishokel, until we go and serve Lishame, to the Shamas of Rav Yehuda, Bar Yecheskel. This is the famous Rav Yehuda. This is the Goyin, Rav Yehuda, the Talmud of Rav, the Talmud of Shmuel. Here we give his last name because we'll see this bad person from Nardoi is going to make fun of him and have a play on his last name, Yecheskel. That's why it says over here that this is Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel. Okay, so back to the story. So they told him, wait until the Shamus of this Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel go gets his food. So, v'nei sivlach, and then we'll take care of you. Okay, Omar, this Rasha from Nardoi says to them, Omar, man Yehuda Bar Shviskel. Who is this Yehuda? He doesn't call him Rav Yehuda. He's the God Lador. He's the head of the din, of the Beis Din in Pumpeditza. He calls him by his first name, and he makes a play on his father's name of Yecheskel. He calls him Shviskel. Rashi explains that the word Shviskel is Lashon Ginai. It means a glutton, gargaron. Ochel Shvisik Tzoli means that you're eating over here roasted meat. In other words, he said, he's such a glutton, this guy. The kodum li, that he should come ahead of me. The shokom in kamai, he should go and take before I get. A chutzpah. Now, they go and tell, Hazlu Omrule le Rav Yehuda. They go and tell the great Rav Yehuda. What does he do? Shamte. He puts him into a shamta, which is a cherub. As the Gemara tells us, Rashi points out, Kidashchon, the menadim le kovod Rav. The moid katan. The moid katan tells us that a person, Rachman al-Slan, is talking inappropriately, is chutzbedik to a Rav, so the Rav has to put him into a cherim, into a shamta, a certain type of excommunication. Now, Amru, they then further told Rav Yehuda, Ragil, this bad person, is one to the Kari in She'abda. He regularly calls people that they're an Eved, which is a very, very terrible thing in those days to call somebody an Eved, because they had Eved Kenani all the time, and for somebody to be an Eved Kenani as opposed to a full-fledged Yid was a real change in their status. So therefore, he would call people an Eved. So Achriz, so Rav Yehuda, announced about this person, this bad person, Achriz Alei, announced about him, the Avdu, that this person is in fact an Eved. As we'll see later on in the story, he was 100% right. In any event, that person, this bad person from Nardoi, was very upset that Rav Yehuda called him an Eved, and therefore he went to his Rav in Nardoi, Rav Nachman, Azal Hahu, Azmine Ledina Lekamid Rav Nachman. And he said, I want to take this guy to court. I want to take Rav Yehuda to court for calling me an Eved. So he went to his town, to Nardoi, to Rav Nachman, and I say Pisco Dasmon. So they subpoenaed Rav Yehuda to come. Now, this was very problematic, as we'll see the rest of the story. Rav Yehuda was greater than Rav Nachman, and therefore it was a little bit inappropriate for Rav Nachman to go subpoena Rav Yehuda. So Azar Rav Yehuda lekamei the Rav Huna. So Rav Yehuda went to his colleague Rav Huna. Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna were famous talmidim of Rav. So he went to Rav Huna to ask him advice. What should I do? Should I or should I not go? So Amalei, Rav Yehuda says to him, Ezil or lo Ezil? Listen, I don't want to be chutzpahdik. I was summoned to a beis din, so I have to go. Or maybe I shouldn't because I'm Rav Yehuda, the Rav in Pumbedisa. So why do I have to go to Nair Doi to a, quote, lesser beis din to be adjudicated? So Amalei, Rav Huna tells him, really, technically, you don't have to go. Meza, lomi boy, loch, lemeza. 100% right, you really don't have to go to Rav Nachman because, mishum, the gavur rabat, you're greater than he is. As Rashi points out, you don't have really to go to Rav Nachman, lefnei Rav Nachman, sha'ato godo mimen, you are greater than he is. You are the Rosh Hashiva here in Pumbedisa, v'ato Rosh Pumbedisa, and Rav Nachman is the Rosh Hashiva in Har Doi, v'dayan l'rosh gilusa. However, he is the dayan for the Rosh Gilusa. He was the exilarch's dayan because he was also the son-in-law of the exilarch, v'chasnei the bein esiyah. And therefore, in this situation, maybe go, ela mishum yukarid the bein esiyah, kum zil. Go, because after all, he is the son-in-law and the dayan for the Rosh Gilusa. So listen, no need to stand on ceremony, just go. Okay, so Rav Yehuda listens to his colleague Rav Huna, and he goes. Also, he goes, Ashechei de Ka'ovid Maka. He goes to Rav Nachman, and he sees that Rav Nachman is building a maka. Now, there's a din that you have to put up a maka, but he was surprised that Rav Nachman himself was doing this. Amalei, Rav Yehuda says to Rav Nachman, Lo Sov Al Amar, doesn't the master hold? He treated him with great respect. He called him the master. Doesn't the master hold? Behold, the Amar Rav Huna Baridi, Amar Shmuel, that which Rav Huna Baridi is the name of Shmuel, when a person is the head of the tzibur, he's the leader of the tzibur, so then it's inappropriate also by siyas v'locha b'nei shlosha. He shouldn't be doing menial work in front of three people. As Rashi says, shiginaihu, this is a denigration of his status. V'shifshlos l'dor shekofim l'zeh she'en lo mi shiyas v'lachto. And therefore it knocks or deteriorates, pushes down the leadership position that he had. Oh, this guy can't, he doesn't even have people that do his manual work for him. So therefore, it's inappropriate for you to do so. Now, Amalei, Rav Nachman says to him, I'm doing a mitzvah. Purta de gundrisa hu de kavidna. I'm going up here and putting a small little fence, as Rashi says, I'm going to make over here, hainu maka, b'echad al-shonos. This word, gundrisa, is another fancy word for a maka, for making the din of putting a fence up around a raised area, which is a din in the Torah. So he said, I'm doing a mitzvah, so therefore I'm allowed to do this. Now he used, instead of the word maka, he used this fancy, highfalutin word, gundrisa. So Rav Yehuda pokes a little bit of fun at him. Amalei, Rav Yehuda says to him, Misanya maka, dechsi baraisa, you don't like the word that the Torah used, maka? Or use the word that the rabbis use if you don't like the word that the Torah used. O mechitza, the Amar Rabbanon. Why do you use this highfalutin word of gundrisa? Okay, so Amalei, Rav Nachman continues the conversation. He says to him, Yosef mar akar pita. Go, let the master, Rav Nachman had tremendous respect for Rav Yehuda, he called the mar as well. So let the master sit down on this kar pita. Now, Amalei, Rav Yehuda says to him, why are you calling it a kar pita? Umi sane safsol, the Amar Rabbanon. You don't like the word that the rabbis used was a safsol? Itztava, the Amar Inshe, that's the gears that we have, or an itztava, which is the common language, vernacular word that people use. Some of the gears have it the other way around, that safsol was the word that the plain people used, and itztava was the word that the rabbis used for this chair, for this bench. In any event, he says, why are you using the highfalutin word again? So Amalei, Rav Nachman continues the conversation. He says, "Nu, can I offer you something to eat? Lechol mar esrodnga. Can I give the master, meaning Rav Yehuda, can I give you an esrog to eat?" But he called it esronga. So again, Rav Yehuda is not happy with his choice of words. Amalei, Rav Yehuda says to him, "Hachem Shmuel. Shmuel said, call Omer esronga. And if anybody uses the word esronga, they use these highfalutin words, tilsa biramus rucha. That person is obviously a little bit arrogant." As Rashi says, an arrogant person uses highfalutin words. So a little bit, you're an arrogant person if you use such words. Either use the word Oesrog, Kidikaryu or Rabbanon, Oesrog, the Amriyinshi. Either use the word that the rabbis use, an Esrog, or use the word that the common folk use, the vernacular usage is Esroga. But there's an Esronga that nobody uses except highfalutin people who are arrogant. Nope, Rav Nachman accepts this. Amalei says to him, Lishte Mar Anboga. Can I offer you a drink of Anboga? Right? This was a certain type of a beverage, Rashi says, kos, shuravis, a certain amount of a drink, or revius is worth of this, vayurugin lishtos kos echad, mimashke osu lishtoso shachris. And they would drink this in the mornings, and they would call it aspargus. That's what Gemara in Brachas tells us. And anyway, he used this term, anboga, which again, another highfalutin word. So Yehuda, again, gives him a little shtuch. Amalei, he says to him, misone ispargus tekayu yirabanan, is the word that the rabbis use in Gemara in Brachos, ispargus, that's not a word that you want to use? Oh, anpak, or use the word that the vernacular people use, the Amri Inshe. Why did you pick this again, highfalutin word, anboga? Amalei, Rav Nachman continues, and he says, Tesi Donag, others have a different gears for what the daughter's name was. In any event, we use the term that we have in our Gemara, let my daughter, Tesi Donag, Tashkenan, let my daughter Donag come, and she will give us something to drink. So, Rav Yehuda doesn't like this either. Amalei says, Hachem Shmuel, he says, this is what Shmuel said, Ein Mishtam Shem Bisha. It's inappropriate to go and use a woman in this fashion. As Rashi says, because if she comes around and serves drinks to the men, that's not the way you want to raise your daughter. It's a little bit going to lead to her being comfortable to talking around men, which is not something you want. The Mefarshim display, Rav Yehuda wants to, through all of these conversations, show to Rav Nachman, listen, it was inappropriate for you to give me a hazmana to come to your beis din. So he's telling him in a somewhat sort of a circuitous fashion that what you did wasn't correct. We'll see at the end, Rav Nachman gets the message, basically. Okay, now, in this particular regard about his daughter, so Rav Nachman says, but what's the matter over here? Kitanahi, she's a young girl. So the Gemara says, no, Rav Yehuda told him, even a young girl, Beferish Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, Beferish, Ein Mishtamshin Beisha, you shouldn't go and use a woman to go and serve the men in this fashion. Klal, period, at all. Ben Gedol, Ben Ktana. Has nothing to do with the age. You don't want to teach her that it's acceptable to be talking to the men. Nope. So he said, Nishta Leimar Shlomo Lialta. So Rav Nachman continues to talk to Rav Yehuda, and he says, would you like to send regards to my wife Yalta? So Amalei, Rav Yehuda said to him, again, Hachem Shmuel, don't you know anything? He said, Shmuel said, Kol Beisha Erva. It's inappropriate for me to go and speak with your wife because the voice of a woman is the status of an Erva, just like you can't look at a woman who's not properly called. You should listen to a woman. Now, Rashi points out, the Pasuk says, Shenema Hashmieni es Kolech, Vim Eshol Bishloma Tishiveni. You're asking me to go and ask how she's doing, so she's going to have to respond to me. And even though technically you're allowed to go and hear a woman talking, that's not an Isser, but he was pointing out that Shmuel held a very strict stance over here and said that just the voice of a woman is an Erba. Again, we're not going to get into the halachic definitions and discussions over here about that, but again, Rav Yehuda was saying, hey, don't you know this statement of Shmuel? No, Rav Nachman said, at least Efshar Ayide Shaliach. Okay, don't talk to my wife directly, but go send her a message via Shaliach. So Amalei, Rav Yehuda says back to him again. Hachiyah Mishmul, we turn to Ayin Omer Beis, Ein Shalom Mishlomisha. It's inappropriate to go and ask somebody else, how is your wife doing to the woman herself? Tosus points out, it's perfectly acceptable to go and ask the husband, how is your wife doing? But to go and send a message, even via Shaliach, to the woman and asking her how you're doing is incorrect. As the top Rashi tells us, Shem Mitoch Sheila Shalom, via you're inquiring how she's doing. She's going to send back through the Shaliach, and you're going to get accustomed to conversing with her in this fashion. Yurigilim Zem Zeh, Ayde Shlucham, they'll get accustomed to having these conversations via the messenger, Vyavola Dechiba, and it's going to lead to a close relationship, which is inappropriate. No, Rav Nachman says, so Ayide Bala, I'll be the one that sends her the message. So again, review the tells Mamalei Hachem Shmuel, Ein Shalom Mishlom Isha Klal, period. We don't even go through the husband to directly ask the wife how she is doing. Again, Tosus again points out, very appropriate, Avol Ishloach Lo Bishalom, Afi Ayide Bala's Osir. But we see from the Malachim saying, Aye sorry Ishtecha, where's sorry your wife? How is she doing? So it's appropriate to ask the husband, how is your wife doing? That's very appropriate. But not to ask him to go and tell even his wife to go and ask her how she's doing. Okay. At this point, Rav Nachman's wife, Yalta, has apparently been listening to this conversation going on over here, and Shochalei Devisu. So Rav Nachman's wife, Yalta, goes and tells Rav Nachman, you're not doing very well in this conversation with Yehuda. It's better to stop the conversation and ask him why he's here. Shari Lei Tigre, go and ask him what brings him here to town. As Rashi says, Pitaroso, so you can get rid of him, Yilfanecha, because this is the Gemara is telling us over here, because my delo nishavach kishar amoritz. The Gemara tells us that he shouldn't make you look any more like an amoritz. He's basically taking you to the cleaners over here. Every time you say something, he's finding that what you're saying isn't the way a top-notch Talmud Chacham, so to say, would have spoken. In any event, so Yalta tells Rav Nachman, tells her husband Rav Nachman, ask him why he's here. So Amalei, so Rav Nachman says, Rav Yehuda, my shiate demar hocha. Why is the master over here? What brings you to Nardoi? You're the Rav in Pompaditsa. What brings you to Nardoi? So Amalei, so he goes and tells Rav Nachman, what are you asking me what I'm doing here? You subpoenaed me. Tasko dehazmanusa shoda marabasrai. I'm here because you sent me a summons. What do you mean, what am I doing over here? I'm here because you summoned me. So Amalei, Rav Nachman says, well, I did not. Hashta shusa demai lo gemirna. You see that I don't even know how to speak properly. You taught me quite a bit. You see, I don't even know how to speak properly compared to you. Tasko dehazmanusa mishadrona lamar. You'd think I would have the chutzpah to go and send you Azmona to my Beis Din? Now, obviously, Rav Yehuda got the Azmona to the Beis Din. So the Mefarshim should bring down that this bad person either forged it or that he had made it in a way that Rav Nachman himself didn't know that this was being sent, that he did it through his secretaries. In any event, Rav Yehuda shows him, you really did give me Azmona. Apik disko dazmanusa mi bechadje. He took out the summons, the subpoena, mitocheko, mibeched, it means from his bosom, and he showed it to him. He says, he showed it to him, and he said, Amalei, hagavra, vahadizka, here, I'm here, and here's the document that demanded that I come here. No, Rav Nachman basically was unaware of this, or forgot about it, or it was forged, whatever, and Amalei says, listen, hovel va'osam alocha, I would never have summoned you. Go and solve what the issue was, so people shouldn't talk bad about the rabbis. So you can say that the rabbis give each other like special privileges over here, and they don't take them to court. And listen, this guy did apparently have concerns about how you act with him. So let's hear your side of the story, and then we can finish this whole thing once and for all. No, so Rav Nachman is Amalei. My timer, Shamte Mar Lahu Gavra. That guy claims that you put him in excommunication, you put him in Shamta inappropriately. Why did you do it? So Rav Yehuda explains, because see, our Shlich of the Rabbanan. He went and was bothering my Shaliach, and he had zero respect for me and the position of Rav, and therefore that's why Shamta. Rav Nachman said, so why did you give him lashes? The Nagdimar, you should have given him lashes rather than put him into Shamta, because the Rav, the great Rav, your Rebbe, mangid alman de mitzar shluch de rabbanan. He would go give lashes to somebody who was mitzar, who gave a hard time to the shliach of a Rav. So you should have given him lashes rather than put him into Shamta. So Rav Yehuda says, no, the odifa minei adile. That's the gears of the Rashi as the adifa minei. We have the gears of the adif minei. Any event, Rashi says, Chamura mimenu wasisilo lekanso. This guy's a bad guy, and I did an additional knas above and beyond what I had to do, which could have been giving him lashes, so I went beyond that as a knas, and I put him into Shamta. Nu, Rav Nachman asked him, Nu, my time, Achriz Mar, Ale, the Abduhu. So what made you go and say that he's an Eved? So that's nothing to do with him acting inappropriately to your Shaliach, so that he got into Chayim, into Shamta. But why did you call him an Eved? So Yehuda says, Amalei, because the Rogil, the Kari, in Ishavde, because he was wont to go and call people an Eved, and therefore I did what basically he was posel himself by calling other people an Eved. Vitani, as we've learned in the Brisa, we had this early in the Shia, call a posel posel. The Eino Medab Bishwach Liolam. Somebody that goes and finds psulim in other people, so he himself is a psul, and if he never speaks nicely about other people, that tells you a lot about him. The Amar Shmuel, and Shmuel said, Bimumo posel. If you go and point out mumim in other people, Mustama, you have that mum yourself. So that's what Yehuda told Rav Nachman. That's why I called him an Eved. So Rav Nachman says back to him, Emar, the Amar Shmuel, Lemecha Shlei. When Shmuel said you have to be concerned that he's posel b'mumo, so that means you have a chashash that he's an eved. But to announce that he's an eved, are you allowed to do that? Is that what Shmuel said? I don't think so. No. While they're having this conversation, ad hachi v'hachi, while they're having this conversation with Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nachman, now the girsa that we have is osahu bar dinei minardoi. This bad guy comes and joins the conversation. Others have this in parentheses, and therefore they delete it. But Amalei, how about Dina Rav Yehuda? In any event, this bad guy says to Rav Yehuda, "You're calling me an Eved Ladidi Kariz Li Avda? You should know the Asina Beis Chashmonoim Malka. How dare you call me an Eved? I come from a royal family. I come from the Chashmonoim family, the king royal family of the Chashmonoim." But he cooked his own goose. Amalei Rav Yehuda says to him, "Really? Hachim Shmuel, you claim that you're from the Chashmonoim? This is what Shmuel said. Called the Amar the base Chashmonoim Kasina. Anybody that says that he comes from the royal house of the Chashmonoim, Abduhu. That person is an Eved. Because, in fact, we'll see in the Gemara, story that we're going to bring down momentarily from the Gemara in Bava Basra, that Herod, Herders, he went and killed out basically the entire family of the Chashmonoim. There was one girl that was left, and this girl, he wanted to marry her. And that would sort of give him a real lineage to the royal throne of the Chashmonaim. So she went and committed suicide rather than be forcibly taken by this horrible Hardus. So therefore, anybody, Shmuel said, who states that they're from the family of the Chashmonaim really come from Hardus, which means that they're slaves, because Herod, Hardus, was a slave. So that's what Shmuel said. So Amalei, Rav Nachman said to Rav Yehuda, wait a second. You're telling me this now, but there's a famous rule, Lo Sova Lamar doesn't the master hold. Don't you review the hold? Lahod Yomar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Don't you hold that which Rabbi Abba said in the name of Rav Huna, in the name of your Rebbe, Rav. And that is, when a Talmud Chacham comes and tells us a din. So if he told it to us before, he needed that din to prove his own case, so then we believe him. But if he tells us the din after he needs that din, and he says, oh, so-and-so said this, then we're not allowed to believe him. And that's what the Gemara tells us. Called Talmud Chacham Shemar Alacha. Any Talmud Chacham who comes and paskin something, and then Uba, and that case is needed for him his own purposes, so im kodem ma'isamore, if he said this din well before he needed that din to be for his own personal benefit, so then shomalo, so then we listen to him. However, v'im lav, if he only tells us, oh, halchi omar Shmuel, after this is applicable to him, so en shomalo, then we're not allowed to listen to you. So how can you go and tell us now that this statement from Shmuel, that anybody says that from the base Chashmonai is an Eved, well, you need it for your own purposes right now. You never told it to us beforehand, so therefore, we're not allowed to believe you. So how does Rabbi Yehuda respond to that? Amalei, Rabbi Yehuda says back to Rav Nachman, Ha'ika Rav Masna Dekoi Kavasi. When I heard this din from Shmuel, Rav Masna was there. So he'll be able to corroborate it. Now, there's only one problem. Rav Masna Lo Chazye L'Nardoi Tleisa Shnei. Rav Masna hadn't been in Nardoi for 13 years, so he wasn't around. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an ace to support Rav Yehuda. How Yom Asa? That very day, Rav Masna, for the first time in 13 years, appeared in Nardoi. So Rav Yehuda asks him, he comes to the court somehow, he's in front of Rav Nachman Rav Yehuda, and Amalei, Rav Yehuda says to Rav Masna, Dichir Mar, does the master remember? Does Rav Masna remember? My Omer Shmuel, that which Shmuel taught us, Ki Koi Chada Kara Aguda, V'chada Kara B'mavra, when he was standing in a certain place, it was very memorable. So he had one foot either in a ferry or on a bridge, and the other foot was on the river bank. That's how Rashi explains this. And do you remember when he taught us this din at that moment in time? So Rav Masna says, yes, I remember it very well. Amalei, yeah, Hachem Shmuel. Shmuel said at that point in time, Rav Yehuda didn't tell him what din, he just asked him, do you remember the din that Shmuel taught us? And Rav Masna said, yes, I remember it very well. This is what Shmuel said. Anybody who claims that they're from the royal family of the Chashmonaim is in fact Abduhu, is in fact an Eved. Exactly as Rav Yehuda said. Because, and here we fill in the additional details, the lo ishtayu minayu elahai revisa. There was nobody left in the Chashmonaim family. Hardus had killed everyone out, except for this one young lady, this young revisa, the Sokol Igra, and she was being summoned to marriage with Hardus. And she said, nothing doing. And she went up to the rooftop, the Ramya Kola, and she raised her voice, and the Umrah, and she told everybody who could hear, called the Umrah of Beis Chashmonaim, no, if anybody comes along ever after this and says they're from the Beis Chashmonaim, you should know, Avdahu. They're in fact Herod's family, Herodias' family, because there is nobody left except myself, because I'm the last one left from that family, and I'm killing myself now. Nofla mi'igra umisa. She jumped off the roof and she died. So therefore, there's nobody left in the Hashmonaim family, and this corroborates Rav Masna's statement over here, corroborates exactly what Rav Yehuda said, and therefore, Rav Nachman said, Taki, you're 100% right, and achruz alei, the avdahu. And therefore, they publicly announced that this bad guy, who had started the whole problem over here, he in fact was an eved. How yoma? And that very day, Ikran Kamok Suboso Binardoi. All of a sudden, all of the girls who were from this family, so their husbands ripped up the ksuba and said, hey, this was a Mekach Toz. I thought I was marrying a Jewish girl. In fact, I'm marrying an Eved, Shivcha. And therefore, they ripped up the ksubas. So that's the end of the story, almost. Kikondofik, so Yehuda gets up to go back to Pumbedisa from Nardoi. And meanwhile, all these people that he just turned their lives upside down because they were now all declared to be Avadim, so Nafke Abasrei Lemirgame. So they all came after him to stone him. They were literally coming to kill him. So Amalu, Yehuda said to them, listen, if you're silent, ishasiku, shasiku, then be silent and we'll continue going on life as it is. Be low, but new, you want to make trouble? So then, you know what I'm going to do? Migalina alaichu. I'm going to go and reveal that which Shmuel said about the people in your area. Tarti Zaryosa Iko Binardoi. There are two families, two lineages over here, two Zera that are living in Nardoi. One family has the nickname Chado Mikarya Debe Yona. One family is known as the family of the Yona. That wasn't the real name, the Mepharshim explained, because otherwise he would be revealing who they are. That was the nickname, but nobody knew who that family referred to, Deve Yona. And another family had a nickname, Vachada Mikarya Deve Urvati. They were known as the family of the Orev, the Raven. Now, the Simoneach, how do you know which family was a kosher family and which family didn't have a kosher lineage? Tomei, the family that was known as the family of the Ravens, which is a Tomei bird, it's a non-kosher bird, so they had a family that are Mamzerim. They're Tomei. And the family that has the name of the Yona, which is a kosher bird, Tar. And he said, if you continue starting up with me, I'll announce publicly to everybody which family is which, and you're not going to be too happy about that. So all the people that came to stone Rav Yehuda, Shadu Alau Rigma Midayu, they took out the stones from the hands and threw them into the river Malka, and the Koatmo Binar Malka, and this river was so filled up with stones that it actually, like, dammed. It was blocked because of all the stones that they threw in over there. And that pretty much concludes the story of Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda. But the Gemara tells us additional statements about various families that were announced publicly. So Machruz Rav Yehuda Pumbedisa, Rav Yehuda in his town of Pumbedisa announced that Ada V'Yona's son, these are two families or two people, are Avde. They're in fact slaves. He also announced Yehuda Bar Papa Mamzera. He announced that this person, Yehuda Bar Papa, was unfortunately a Mamzer. And he also announced Bati Bar Tuvia, that this person, Bati Bar Tuvia, who was originally a slave, stayed a slave, Biramus Rucha, because he was so arrogant, Lo Shokol Gito de Cherusa. He didn't want to accept his get Shichra, and therefore he remains a slave today. He was so arrogant that he said, oh, I don't need a document telling me that I'm not a slave. So he didn't need a document saying he's not a slave, and because he was so arrogant that he didn't accept it. So he's in fact a slave. That's what Rav Yehuda announced. Similarly, Machriz Rava b'Mechuzah. Rava was the Rosh Yeshiva, the head of Mechuzah, and he announced in his town that the following families, or the following towns, Baloye, Danoye, Taloye, Maloye, and Sargaye, all of these were either towns or the names of people, Kulam Livsul. All of these are, in fact, Psul to go and marry into the Kahal. There's some blemish over there in their families that they can't marry into the Kahal. Okay. Then we have further, Amar Rav Yehuda, a review that tells us that the word Govoy, that town or that area known as Govoy, so in fact all the people that live there are Givonim, Givonoi, that's the Nesinim, and therefore they are not also permitted to marry into the Kahal. And the town of Dur Nunisa, they're the Dore Nesinoi. That name is a play on the words, the town, Dorei is Kfar, and the town of Nesinim, because the people that live there are also Nesinim. Amar Yosef, Yosef said, Hai Bei Kuve, this place called Bei Kuve, which is in the Pumbedisa, Kulam Avde, Da Avde. Everybody lives over there is an Eved. Furthermore, Amr Yudah Meshmuel, Arba Meos Avadim, Vamile Arbas Alofim Avadim, reviewed this and named Meshmuel that there were either 400 or 4,000 slaves that belonged to this person, Hailo Le Pashkor Ben Emer. They belonged to Pashkor Ben Emer, and Rashi points out that he was living in the time Bimei Yirmiyo Haya, and he himself was a Kohen. The Kulan Nitbu Bikuna, since they all ate Truma because they were the Avadim of a Kohen, either these 400 or 4,000 slaves, so they all ate Truma, and they passed themselves off as being Kohanim because, hey, look, I eat Truma, I must be a Kohen, and they fooled people into thinking that they weren't an Eved of a Kohen, but they were Kohanim themselves, and therefore they mixed in with the Kohuna, the Kohen, Sheesh Boaz is Panim, and Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that from these people came Azus Panim, because these people were all Mamzerim, and that was their psul, and therefore a Mamzer is a very chutzpahdik person. So any Kohen, Sheesh Bo Azus Panim, Eino Elamihem, must belong to them because they were Mamzerim. Amar Abaye said, no, a little bit the opposite. Kulan Yosvim, Bishur, the Renard Doi, they all. All these people, they were in some of the Girsa of Bishukka de Nardoi, but we have the Girsa of Bishur de Nardoi, they were in a certain row in Nardoi, and that's where they lived. Opliga de Rabbi Elazar, and this is in disagreement with that which Rabbi Elazar made, the statement that he said. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, in Ritz, a coin bazis meitzach, al taharach rab. He says, if you see a coin that's chutzvedich, don't suspect that he is in fact a mamzer, because the Kohanim tend to be somewhat strong-armed. So Shinemar v'amchol kimrivei Kohen. Your people are like the Kohanim that are sometimes embroiled in controversy. So therefore, the Kohanim are always the biggest zealots for Klai Yisrael, so sometimes they get into fights. And therefore, just the fact that he's a little bit chutzpahdik, he's a little bit strong in his opinions, so that doesn't mean that he's Nebuch a mamzer. No, that's just the way Kohanim sometimes are. Okay. Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabbi Ovin by Rav Adom Rav. Rabbi Ovin, who was the son of Rav Ad, the same of Rav, called Nosi Isha Shein Ogenos Lo. We had this early in this year. Said anybody that marries a woman that's not appropriate for him, Kishak Kodesh Baruch Hu Mashra Shchinoso, Neid Al Kol Ashvatim Vein Meid Olav. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to bring his presence closer to his people, so then in the times of Mashiach, so then he will testify that all of these are kosher families, but he won't testify about the family of that person that marries a woman that's inappropriate for him. Because the Pasuk says, Shinemar, the Pasuk can tell him, Shiftei Ka Edus Yisrael. The Shvatim, there'll be an Edus for Klai Yisrael, and Emosai have the Edus Yisrael. When will they be a testimony for Klai Yisrael? Bisman Shashvatim Shiftei Ka. If they are acting properly, if they're the Shiftei Ka, then there'll be a testimony for Klai Yisrael. So these people that married somebody that's inappropriate for them, so then they're not going to have this testimony about them during the days of Mashiach that they're a proper lineage. Furthermore, Amar Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina Kishakosh Baruch Hu Mashu Shchinaso in Mashu El Al Mishpachos Miyuchaso Shiv Yisrael. That time when Mashiach is going to come and the Kosh Baruch Hu is going to have an increased presence on Klai Yisrael, so he's only going to have the increased presence on the Miyuchasos, the people of purest lineage, because the pasuk tells us Shenemar. This is a pasuk that we have in Yirmiyahu where it says Bo'ei Sahi No Hashem. I'll be the God for all of the mishpachos of Klai Yisrael. Now, l'chol Yisrael lo nema, it didn't say all of Klai Yisrael. Ella l'chol mishpachos, only those that are mishpachos in Klai Yisrael, implying the hema yu li lam, they will be for me a nation, implying that only those that are families that are pure, they will be for me a people. My shechina's presence will be upon them, but not to anybody else. Furthermore, Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rabba Bar Rav Huna said, "Zumala Yisrael Yesh Bein Yisrael Legerim." Here's a mila that a born yid has over a ger who is miskayer, because dilu be Yisrael Sibu. By regards to Klai Yisrael, it says, "Vayisalem Lelokim Behema Yuli Liam." I will be their God, and they will be my people. So that is a Kodesh Baruch Hu saying, even if they don't act as they should, they'll still be my people. As opposed to Vilu Begerim Ksiv, but in regards to Gerim, Mi who's there, Arav Eslibo, Logeshes, Elai, Nium Hashem, who is it that comes over here to become a Ger? Vissim Lila Om, Baruchi Elohim Lelokim, that I should be to them a God to them, only if they are to be a nation to me. In other words, if they act properly, so then they will be included in Klai Yisrael. But if they don't act properly, they won't be included in Klai Yisrael. That's basically what it's telling us over here. Rashi points out that this will be Even if they don't act like a nation, I'll still be their God. However, by the Gerim, it says, so there, the Lashon is different. They're only considered close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if they are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rechabo, Rechabo tells us another din about Gerim. Caution Gerim Lisa Kisapachas, that Gerim can be as bad to Klai Yisrael as Sapachas. Sapachas is a certain type of a lesion in Tzoras, which is very, very not good to have, and therefore the Gerim can be like Sapachas to us. Why is that? Shenemar, Benilva Hager Aleim, Benisbuchu Abes Yaakov, because the Ger will accompany Klai Yisrael to the house of Yaakov, and it says, Ksiv Hocho V'nispichu, this Lashon is an unusual Lashon, Ksiv Hosom Laseis V'lasapachas, to teach us that these Gerim, when they attach themselves to us, can be very difficult for Klai Yisrael, like Sapachas. Now, why is that? So Tosus brings down many, many possible explanations. So first of all, he brings down the one of Rashi. So let's look in Tosus Kashim Gerim. So he says, Pirush Mekuntres, Lefish Einam Bekiyam B'mitzvos U'Mevi'in Paronus, because they're not so knowledgeable about the mitzvos. They weren't born and raised in the yeshiva atmosphere, so they come into life later on and they have, unfortunately, inappropriate actions. They don't know all the dinim, and therefore they can bring a lot of trouble to Klai Yisrael. That's the pshat that Rashi gives. And they act inappropriately because that's the way they've acted throughout their lives, and therefore they could rub it off on to the rest of Klai Yisrael, and therefore that's why Gerim are not good. That's Rashi's shot. A little bit later on in Tosfos, he brings down the Yesh Beforshim, the Karshim, Gerim, Yisrael, Kisapachas, Lefi Shehin, Sira Kodesh Baruch Hu Aleihem, Bechav Dal Mekobos. Because HaKodesh Baruch Hu warns us to treat the Gerim nicely, Shalom to hold us or some, not to treat them in a bad way. And it's almost impossible not to sometimes possibly hurt them. And since we're warned in 24 places, on the side it says it's really 36 places, and therefore it's almost impossible not to hurt their feelings at some point in time, and therefore we'll be held accountable for that. And tells the reason another pshat, the Yeshua Farshim, Savisha Aidei Agerim, Yisrael Begolos, because of the Gerim, we're in Golos. Yoser may other nations, as we turn in Tosus to that Ayin Aleph, why are we in Golos much longer than any other nation? So the Gerim can come attach themselves to us. However, Tos says, I don't like that pshat. Lo nihira. We don't look to go and tell people to come to become Jews. We don't look to go and proselytize. Teidash Yisrael Dovim Duchufim, that we are in the low point of the world. Nebuch. You see how the world is already reacting to us, potentially causing a, quote, humanitarian crisis in Gaza. The Goyim hate us. The Goyim are always putting us down. So Tosu doesn't like that pshat. So anyway, he brings down from Rabbeinu Avraham, says, Ger, Pirish Lefisha, Hagerim, Bekim, Bemitzvah. Sometimes you see a Ger, he's a convert, and wow, look at that 25-minute Shemoneh Esrei that he does, and look how he's medaktik in mitzvos. And therefore, they put us down. They make us look bad. Look, that guy, he's been a Jew for 2 years, and look how punctilious he is with his mitzvos. And therefore, mitoch kacha kodesh baruch hu maskev anuseim shel Yisrael says, wow, you've been davening your 2 minutes Shemoneh Esrei for the last 10 years, and look at this guy, he's a Jew for 2 years, and he's davening a much better Shemoneh Esrei than you. So it makes us look bad. And therefore, that's why having Gerim is kosher kisapachas. But then Tosfos brings down the final reason, and that's why this is brought into our Gemara. He says, from the Re, it's Pirish, Lefikoch, Koshim, Shidita'am will be Yisrael, Ve'neshchina Shore, Ela Mishpachim Yuchesis, because they're Gerim, and unless they are observing properly, so then HaKosh Baruch Hu Shchina isn't Shore on them, as opposed to those that are born Jewish. And therefore, the Kainira, the Mishum Hochi, Ma'isa, Ho, the Rabbi Chalbo, Ho, Al-Milsa, the Ruchama Barchanina. That's why this is brought in our Gemara. In any event, the Gemara continues with another statement, Amar Rechama Berchanina, Kishakodesh Baruch Hu, we turn to Ayin Aleph Amin Aleph, Mitar Shvatim, Shifto Shalevi, Mitar Tchila. The first Shevet that will become Tar is Shevet Levi. Why is that? Because the Pasuk says, Shenemar, Yoshav Mitzarif, Mitar Kesef, Vetir Esbnei Levi, Vizika Kosom, Kazov, Vika Kosef, Vayul Hashem, Magishe, Mincha, Bitztaka. So the Pasuk says that they will become Tar first. Now, Amar Shuma Levi says, Kesef Mitar Mamzerim. Even money can sometimes be Matar Mamzerim. How does that work? Shenemar, B'yoshav Mitzarif, Matar Kesef. He darshens his pasuk, and he says, and Rashi brings down, that HaMitrumayim B'Yisrael, since these people were unfortunately mixed in with Klai Yisrael, and they spoiled the lineage, nevertheless, because they're so ingrained in Klai Yisrael already, Machos Mimonim, because of the money, V'hu Gorim Lehem Shiyitaru, and therefore that being so ingrained in Klai Yisrael, in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mitahir them. And that's what the Pasuk means, Kodesh Yishuv Levi. And finally, my magisha mincha b'tzedakah. What does that mean? Some of Yitzchak, Rav Yechzer tells us, tzedakah HaKadosh Baruch Hu im Yisrael, shemishpacha shenitma nitma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go, and if they're so thoroughly mixed in with Klai Yisrael, even when Mashiach comes, they won't be removed from Klai Yisrael. If they're so already intermixed in Klai Yisrael, Hashem will let it be. He will be mitar them. And that is a chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do for us in the future when Mashiach comes. This is a good break point. If it's Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do many chesedim for us and save us in Eretz Yisrael right now. All the needs that we have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please be merachem in the schus of our learning, in the schus of all the chesed that we're doing to help our Achenu Beis Yisrael.